Good to see everybody. Yeah, isn't it good to be seen, right? Yes. You guys look great today. And I'm having a bad hair day, so I don't know how I look, but every day seems to be that way for me. But anyway, it's good to see you all. Hey, if you haven't taken a picture of the waterfall yet, today's the day. Okay, the waterfall is coming down. We've been in this series since July 30th. Can you believe that? We started out with festivities down at the pavilion. We had worship service outside. We had the dunk tank. We had a meal out there. We had all kinds of water games. And can you believe that it's already in October? Now, we could almost have that water games today, right? We could start all over again. It's so darn warm out there. But it's been months now that we've been in this series. I can hardly believe it. But today is the last installment, the last message of the Water World series, Let the River Flow. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. Starting next week, Pastor Ryan's going to be starting us off with our new series called Roots, Praying from the Bottom Up. So that'll be going on for a couple of weeks until we get into Advent. So believe it or not, that things are moving right along. So anyway, I don't know about you guys, but my week was a little hectic. Anybody ever have a hectic week? Yeah, I'm sure most of you have. But mine's been a little hectic. I was having a hard time getting time to put this message together. But God's pretty creative, and He finds time, even when I think I don't have time. But the week has been hectic. It's been full of things going on in my personal life, but also things going on in the world and in our neighborhood as well. So just to think about that for a moment, the things that are going on in the world, things that really bug you or really get on your minds. For me, right now, it's the talk of nuclear war between North Korea and our country and Iran. It now is starting to mix in with that, too. Things that are very destructive are starting to happen and messes with your head. You know what I mean? It messes with mine, and I think it interrupts sleep sometimes as well. But we got that one going on. We have earthquakes happening in Mexico that killed and were very devastating down there. We have a famine in countries that we don't even hear about anymore because things are happening in a big global presence. So we don't hear about the famines and the genocide that's going on in countries as well. And not to bring you down just a little bit further, but we have hurricanes. I'm not trying to do that, by the way, but we have hurricanes going on that have passed us by. Harvey that hit Texas. We had Maria. We had Irma first, who hit Florida. We had Maria that just was devastating to the Caribbean islands. We had Jose, who gave us a little scare. And now we have Nate, who's down there whipping up the waters in the Gulf, causing some destruction down in the Gulf states. So we got all kinds of stuff. We got all those things I mentioned before, plus that going on in our heads. And doesn't make you wonder why some people are asking, are we in the end times? You know, I heard people ask me that. What do you think? Are we in the end times? Well, I have no answer to that. You know, I don't think so, but everyone has their own answer to that. But not only to add to those things, then we had the tragedy in Las Vegas. The massacre there where 58 people were killed, scores, 500 plus wounded. We had just mass devastation there by one gunman who just strafed the whole area with bullets and just killed so many people. So again, are we entering the end times? I don't know. That's something you guys need to think about. But if you remember, we started in the book of Genesis when we started this journey in Waterworld, and now we're finishing in Revelation, which is the vision that John gets about the end times. But he also gets a vision of the New Jerusalem as well, which we're going to be dwelling on today. We're going to be taking that part of it and explaining that a little bit to you today. So, yes, there's a lot going on in this passage. Yes, Revelation is quite a book, and one that you want to check out sometime. But again, I go back to the end times. I don't think it's the end times. I don't know if it's the end times. Only one person does, and that's the Father in heaven. He wouldn't even tell his son. So if it's the end times, we will know it, I think, when it happens. So back to Revelations of John 22, verses 1 through 2. Revelation is a distinct kind of literature written in a literary form called apocalyptic, describing or prophesizing the complete destruction of the world, and is highly symbolic in nature. You're going to see that today. We're going to see how symbolic it is. But if you want to open your Bibles to Revelation 22, verses 1, John, Revelations of John is throwing me off. Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. Here we go. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding fruit every month, and the leaves are for the healing of nations. There's a lot of things going on here that sort of were confusing to me, like that last one, the healing of nations. But we're going to dive into a couple of those passages and just see what we come up with. So again, we're starting with the water. We did a whole month's July. We started in July, August, September, ending in October. That's how crucial water is to life. God has brought that up so many times. He even brings it up in heaven as this river flowing down through the city, the New Jerusalem. That's how important water is. Water is a main ingredient to life. Just remember that as we go through this. The Garden of Eden had a river running through it, making that a plush, beautiful area of the Garden of Eden. You read all about that in Genesis. And through that river came four other rivers: the Pison, the Gihon, the Tigris, and the Euphrates. That river coming out of Eden was the headwaters to those four other major rivers that supplied so much fertile land to those nations. So from that one river flowed all this water to provide plants and water for all nations in that area. The Promised Land, just going to touch on another one. The Promised Land, we heard about that. Joshua moving over into the Promised Land with the Israelites all those years that they struggled to get there, 40 years, just to get into this Promised Land. They finally get there, they cross the Jordan. They get into this fertile valley, the Jordan Valley, which God promised to them. The land of milk and honey, you remember that? Water, again, water being so vital to their life. And just as the first paradise needed a river to keep it beautiful, and just as the Promised Land needed a river to keep it beautiful, so the eternal paradise for God's people needs a river. And John, being the eyewitness, tells us it's going to be there in the New Jerusalem. Now, the Old Jerusalem, believe it or not, if you know anything about Jerusalem, it doesn't have a river. Jerusalem doesn't have a river. All the prominent cities back then had a river flowing through them, or made them prominent because of the river and the commerce and things that could go through that. It had water and things that made a city strong, were all built along water. Jerusalem wasn't. Jerusalem had a well that the water came out of, but they didn't have a river like all these other cities. But John assures us that that'll be taken care of in the New Jerusalem. There will be a river running down through it. Did you ever think of the water as the Trinity? I didn't until I saw this. The water is not a Trinity by accident. And the more I read it, and the more I studied it, the more I thought, man, that's pretty cool. And a lot of people use the egg as an object lesson for kids about the Trinity, the shell, the white, the yolk, you know how that goes. Well, this is maybe another one you can use. So here we go. H2O. Two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom. I'll show you how this works. See, it is a three-in-one element that can take on a threefold nature of solid, liquid, and a gas. So you getting this? Here we go. Solid, representing God. You're probably already ahead of me on that one. Solid, who remain on the throne of glory. And if you can picture a big old iceberg on the North Pole, now God's bigger than that, and he's not cold, but just picture that as your image, an iceberg just sitting there, okay? That's God. He's sitting on the throne, never move, never will, and will be waiting for us one day in heaven. And we have the liquid, Jesus. Okay, think about it. He flowed from heaven above to show us the way. There's a song about that. But that represents Jesus flowing from the throne of heaven, the river of life, and into the desert of the world, this place, to bear fruit for the kingdom. You guys. See how that all works? That all works pretty smooth. It's liquid. Then we have the gas that represents the Holy Spirit. And you may wonder, well, how does that work? The source of great power. Well, what the image I got in my mind was a steam engine. Some of you guys probably don't know what steam engine is. I don't know. You know what steam engine is? Okay. Good. A steam engine. Remember those old steam engines that used to chug through town? Probably came through Ephrata. You can see one down Strasbourg yet. They're powered by water. Water heated up to create steam. This is the way you can picture the Holy Spirit. When you are moving, the Holy Spirit is living inside you. You can feel its power. That's what's driving you, that steam, that spirit. That water is just taking you out into the kingdom to do his glory. So think of yourself as a steam engine powered by the Holy Spirit. Now, when I'm out running, when I get up to people that are walking, they turn around and look because I sound like one of these old steam engines chugging up the path. It's a whole different image. But I'm talking about the power you get from the Holy Spirit. This is the gas. God, the solid, the iceberg, the King of Kings. Liquid, Jesus flowing down from the river of life, which we're talking about today. And the Holy Spirit, that power packet lives within you. You know, sometimes we forget about the Holy Spirit, you know? He sort of gets, you know, down low because we always talk about Jesus, we always talk about God, but sometimes the Holy Spirit is left behind. But that's what's in you. That's what's powering you. That's what's protecting you. That's what's guiding you. That Jesus gave that to you when he went into heaven. Hang on to that. Here we go. The river of life. River of life overflows onto earth, which is where I want to take you right now. It's Jesus. The river of life, yes, is a vision from John about what's coming in heaven, but we don't have to wait because it overflowed and came into this earth. Jesus bringing heaven on earth, the liquid flowing from heaven to earth to quench the thirst of man with his blood for all who believe in him and who are saved. Think about that for a bit. That river, I think of a dam, you know, a dam that's overflowing at its where it's spillway, where it spills out over. That's how I see God, the river just. When Jesus came down here to earth, it just spilled out over into our land, our thirsty land. And he brought his son, Jesus, to live here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We're not going to die if you know Jesus. We're not going to die. We'll die an earthly death Yeah, we'll do that. But we'll live eternally through the living waters of Christ, through the life of Christ that's in us, that Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Some of us thirst for that Spirit. It's there. All you got to do is drink the water and find it in your life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is what we need to believe. That is the water that came over the dam from the river of life to fill our lives with the life of Christ. Moving on to Revelation 22, verses 2b, I call it. John goes on to explain, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops, yielding its fruit every month. Now, I got to thinking here again, and that's dangerous sometimes. I got to thinking, we're not going to hunger anymore when we get to heaven. We're going to be able to eat that good fruit off the tree of life. Now, if you remember back in Genesis, back in the Garden of Eden, that was a no-no. Okay, when Adam and Eve decided to eat from the tree of knowledge, then God got a little disappointed, more than that. And he closed off the garden so they could not eat from the tree of life. They were not allowed to eat from the tree of life. Now, it looks like we're going to be able to eat from the tree of life. Think about that. We're going to be able to eat some fruit, delicious fruit from the tree of life. Why? Because we're living for eternity. This fruit will be available to you where it wasn't back then. Think about that. We don't have to wait that long, though. There's fruit right here, right now, that Paul told us about in Galatians 22. In Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. Why don't you open your Bibles and check that out? And read along with me. I'll give you a few seconds. Okay, here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit. Remember, we have that Spirit living in us. That water overflowed to us through Jesus Christ. We have them all here. We have fruit that we can eat from right now. We can have fruit that we can share with people right now. We don't have to wait till heaven. The fruit is here. Yes, if you're adding them up, nine. We have end up with nine, not 12. Well, God likes to keep some surprises. You know, not everything's revealed to us. And this may not even be correct. But we do know that this is in the Bible, and Paul has given this to us, the fruit of the Spirit. And we know there'll be 12 fruit when we get up there. And they'll be renewed every month. So I'm guessing the other three fruit are my favorites: Jonathan apples, Bartlett pears, and a good peach. Why not? Why can't it be that? Yeah, you can laugh. It's just my thing. You probably have your own fruit that you're hoping you're up there. But let's look at these again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All the fruit that we need to live a godly life are right there. All the fruit we need to help other people in a hurting world is right there. I can't wait to see what the other three are. And if these aren't correct, I can't wait to see what all 12 are. But for this day in which we live, this fruit is ripe and ready for the picking. And all we have to do as Christians is pick it, live it, and love doing it. It's what we need to do with our lives. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Sounds like a good idea. Sounds like a real good idea. Let's move on. If you have Jesus in your life, you possess a piece of heaven. Beautiful thing, right? Doesn't that feel good? Yeah. How about over here? Does that feel good? Yes. Certainly, yes. Just seeing if you're awake yet. If you have Jesus in your life, you possess a piece of heaven. You may possess a gigantic piece of heaven. If you have a little bit of Jesus in you, you possess a little piece of Jesus. Get on it and get a big piece. But you possess a piece of Jesus. A piece of heaven. If you have Jesus in your heart. Little piece, big piece, a piece. Then the angel showed me the river. I'm going to go over this again. The river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, and of the Lamb, down the middle of the street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. This one got me a little bit, because I thought when we all get up there, we're all one big nation. So that's one of those questions, like I said, or maybe didn't say at the beginning of this message, there's going to be more questions than probably answers you're going to get this in this message, or unanswered questions. But this is one for me. What's the deal there? And as I prayed about it and looked at this a little harder, I wanted to bring this to earth like Jesus brought heaven to earth. I just wanted to bring this to us today. The leaves of healing of hope. Well, here's what I think. We are the children of God, correct? Correct, thank you. Got an affirmation there. Okay, we are the children of God. So why can't we be those leaves of healing and hope floating down from heaven to touch this nation that needs healing? Your neighborhoods that need healing. Why can't you and I be those leaves? Picture the leaves coming off the tree right now in this fall season, floating down. Think of those leaves coming from heaven, you and I, coming down to heal this nation with those fruit, that fruit that we already have, with Jesus who has come down from heaven, who we already have. We have everything we need to heal our neighbors and our nation. We have everything we need. Each one of you possesses those fruit, that Jesus. You have it. We have it. We just got to get bold and use it. See, we are the children of God. And those leaves of healing through Jesus Christ our Lord in a broken world are you and I. I can't stress that enough. I think we are those leaves right now today. You ever help somebody in need? I hope you did. You don't have to say anything. You ever help somebody in need? What happens after that? You get a glimpse of heaven, don't you? You see joy, you love, compassion, kindness. You get a glimpse of heaven every time. There's other ways you get a glimpse of heaven. We've all got a glimpse of heaven. It may be in a smiling child. It may be in laughter. It may be a hug. It may be many, many things. But we already, God gives us those glimpses of heaven. And I think he does that so we hunger just a little bit more for that. We have glimpses of heaven. See, in this broken world we live right now, again, I go back to these pictures only for this. The leaves of healing and hope that are you and I, that could be you and I. Those hurricanes, this gentleman here carrying that woman and her baby, he could be taking her out of that car that's flooded in the background there. I don't know. But I do know this. He's rescuing somebody in distress. He's being kind. He's being loving. He's being compassionate. He's being all those fruit that we talked about. He's given his life. He's doing all things. You hear the heroics at the hurricane victims, people rushing in and helping those folks. Those are those leaves that are coming down, those healing leaves from heaven, that are you and I. I believe. In Las Vegas, that terrible tragedy, 58 people killed, 500 wounded. But did you hear of the heroics going on? Did you hear of the people that were helping to save others? Some people even shielded others from bullets with their own lives. Compassion? We got it. Love, we got it. We got to use it. But that tragedy there showed the true life of Christ just boiling up out of people who didn't know anybody, didn't know the people they were helping. Putting tourniquets on legs, putting people up over the wall, taking them to the hospital. They didn't even know. They were just commandeering trucks and things, and people would just let them take their stuff. They came together. Those healing leaves, the river of life flowing from heaven. Yeah, there's a lot of tragedy. Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff going on. Is it the end times? I don't know. But I do know this. God loves us so much that he gave his son. I do know this, that we don't have to wait to get to heaven to be a little heaven on earth. I think we know that now. Glenn Peace says we can flow on with the river forever and drink of the water of life if we realize that in Christ we have found the fountain of youth. I like to hear that. That sin-cleansing river that we all have longed for. Through Christ, we find that river of life. And here's my buddy. Jesus is the source of life, life eternal. And the one we must trust, man, you got to trust him these days, any day, good and bad. You must trust Jesus. See, if we will drink forever from the river of heaven, you must trust him. Always. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you so much. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the just the river of life that flows through us now. We just ask your blessing this day to help those in need, even the people in Las Vegas, God. We just pray a blessing over all those folks, the wounded folks, the people that helped out. Father, I pray over the shooter whose life is, no, we don't know where that is, God. We pray over the shooter's family as well, God. They need Jesus as well as anyone. So, Father, we know how much you love us. You came from heaven, a safe surrounding next to your Father, to join us down here on earth to see how messed up we are, to show us the way through the river of life through you, and to drink from the river and thirst no more through Jesus Christ. So God, let us just remember that. When we're getting thirsty, we just need to reach out and take a drink of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.